The foot is on trim.
Sunday.
This is one of those days.
The day of rest.
When you wake up.
The time for reflection.
The birds are chirping.
To take stock.
You're smelling the clippings off the lawn.
Except on Triple M.
Top of it at that!
Really pumped up.
This is the Sunday Rub.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
You're absolutely right, Duck. This is one of those days. It's blue skies outside. It'd be a great day to play AFL football. This is the Sunday Rub with McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks footy. Let's get straight into it. There's so much news around. Footy clubs at the moment are doing a great job. Richmond are flying at the moment. Sydney have dropped off. St Kilda are in a bit of trouble. Collingwood could go into the eight. The Western Bulldogs and Gold Coast. So very interested to see how Gold Coast go against Adelaide today. We'll speak to Adelaide Crows coach Matthew Nix and also Brisbane Lions legend Simon Black as I work my way around the box. And I can tell when Duck is going to go out after we've finished on our on-air commitments because he's got the knit on, the very tight boy 16 youth knit, and then he's got his white shirt out the top, similar to what Jay's rolling with today. But you can see these two guys mean business.
Well, there's a reason for that. You know that, Brownie, because this is our last ever show from this from these studios, and we got told that we're having a little gig
having
after
a celebratory
it.
Lunch.
A little bit of a gig. So that's why.
You look very sharp. You've got the white collar out the top.
I tell you what.
You've got gel in the hair.
What a game. What a game last night. Wasn't it good to see two sides just take it on? And I know Joey, Mr. Geek over there with his little analytics and, taking his stats. He'll go beep, 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 beep. Oh, there was no defence and this and that. They fell down in this area and it was all about centre clearance. Beep, 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 beep. But you know what? I guess what? We had one side kick a lot of goals and we had the other side kick more. The side that kicked more won, and wasn't it great to watch?
It was great to watch, but in his defence, I don't think any in the top eight are going to be concerned if the Bulldogs get in there as I work my way around. A man who's got a lot of product in his hair today, so he knows he's on show and he's got a shirt. He's got the shirt undone. So a lot of people go with the shirt undone sometimes with the T-shirt underneath. It's more of a semi-casual look, and that's what Jay Clark's gone with.
Yeah, so I'm happy with my kit today, Brown, it's fair to say, because we might have a couple of sherbets later, but I think the other telltale sign with Duck is the perfume sprays. How many aftershave pumps he's gone?
6 to 8.
Now
that's every day.
You being the betting specialist in this group, you know a good line when you see one. And I feel like it is on average, it's sort of an 8 to 9 pump sort of a day. And I'm taking the overs today.
I'm taking the overs. I can smell him from Richmond.
I tell you what I can guarantee you. Whatever I do, I won't be filming it.
Yes. Oh, yeah, no, we'll but we will Doug.
But the next man, and we are going out for lunch today to a very nice establishment, and he's gone casual. Cross line.
Well, I don't read the memo, right?
It could
always
be a
late for meetings. And
yes. Is that a
like
pajama
you're
top?
Out of bed.
It looks like a pajama top.
Well, James Purse, the designer, is renowned for his sort of casual look, but one day you might step up.
This top
I thought it was your 12-year-old son. That much gel in your hair, Jay-Z.
Yes.
And the duck is a mounting yard special, but he'll get it done on the track today.
I want you to Google Jay. I want you to Google James Percy. So it's a T-shirt wear out of LA. Mm. And have a look at the Henley and just see how much that top is rolling with it, Ross. So get on your phone, have a look. We'll get Leroy
and
to get it
the Italian butter rose down the bottom too.
The shoes look good. But there is holes in your top. I'm looking at holes.
Well, it's since I got sacked, I haven't been able to afford any new one.
And we've already spoken about Joey, but he is here.
Yes, thank you, Brownie. A little bit flat because unfortunately I can't kick on too much this afternoon. I have to work tonight, so I'll just come for a little bit.
Is that what you call it?
I'll work out why I got my the GWS Giants and Bulldogs can't win a premiership playing that style of footy, but it was fun to watch, and we'll chat about
that's
that later.
That's true, Joe.
I want to ask you a question, Joey, and the other three here. Obviously, every now and again, you have a wager with somebody, and if that wager doesn't look like getting up, normally you might pay them out in advance. I know the footy season's a long way, but Joey has had a bet with somebody that the Bombers would make the final eight. Now, I think we can safely say the Bombers won't make the final eight. And you'd pay him out, wouldn't you? Any normal. Yeah. I believe Joey's actually gone to this person and offered them a reduced cash out to take it early. Is this true, Joey?
You know all about this. Rabsy, the producer. I forgot about it, Rabsy. We did have a little wager at the start of the year. He thought the Bombers wouldn't make the eight. I said I thought they would. So we had the bet. He's waiting for me to pay up. And I said, hey, the season's not finished yet. So I'm just going to string it out. But I did offer him a reduced rate. You can take your cash out.
What did you and Mick Mildow see?
I didn't think they would win a flag.
For the flag.
They played finals last year. And I thought they were only going to improve this year. But clearly after about round 4, I realised I was wrong.
Is that an outcome of writing articles, how much pressure under. If you Mick had the pull out, the Bombers for the flag.
He lost his way, Mick, didn't he? On his pre-season prediction. Sometimes you can go a little bit wrong with your crystal ball. We've had some feedback on the, what did you say the top was called?
James Percy.
James Percy, $198, this sort of long sleeve t-shirt you're wearing. There's
sorry,
holes
James,
on it.
You called it a pajama top.
Yeah. And it looked, does that not look like a pajama top to you?
$198, Ross.
Well, you know what? I'm not dressing to impress anyone, JC. Unlike yourself.
In fairness, he did go on a big deal to Fremantle when he walked out of St Kilda.
Well, yeah, that was the point, right? So once the money's dried up, I'm just stuck. I can't upgrade.
He's back flogging real
estate. Iconic's got a sale on. Mr Porter, I can't get on anymore.
Hey, talking about the fact that the Essendon Footy Club won't make the finals, there's a couple of sides now vulnerable at the bottom half of the eight. One of those is your former club, St Kilda, who had to beat Essendon the other night. They were really good against the Brisbane Lions, didn't get the job done, but all of a sudden they are very vulnerable at the bottom half of the eight.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, and there were some red flags coming into the Friday night game. When you look at their profile, it's changed significantly from the first 7 or 8 weeks of the season to the last 6 or 7 weeks they've played. They've dropped off defensively, Ross. Their pressure game has dropped away. And it's putting pressure on them, and so is their clearance and contested ball. Actually, all parts of their game have dropped away. So they are in a bit of a predicament at the moment. They're just hanging on.
What is it with St Kilda people, Ross? Because the amount of people I spoke to Friday night and Friday afternoon of St Kilda ilk all said this feels like a danger game. It just felt like the whole club all of a sudden felt this. Like, I spoke to Rui. He thought it was a danger game. Spoke to Jackson Warne. He felt it was a danger game. We had Buckets Lowe come in Friday night, and before the game he goes, these are these games we've got. See, so every St Kilda person was thinking the same thing. We're going to drop this game.
That's why I packed up and left in the end. It was exhausting. The conditioning over 100 years, so we're not going to win. Look, I think Jack Steele coming back. I heard he's back. He's the heartbeat of the team. I'm not as flat on them. I think it's a very, very, really delicately, it's a very difficult week, the Spud Frawley game. Very emotional. A lot goes into it. A lot went into it pre-game. And I think unless you're mentally really prepared for that, it to sort of not derail you, but I would think they'll gather themselves and get going. I think they've got some challenge with injury because their list isn't as deep. I think Jack Steele comes back in. I'm really expecting that they get going again.
Their run home isn't easy, Brownie. So they play Sydney at the SCG next week, Duck. Then Carlton, who've got some injury issues themselves, held by Fremantle, top four berth. The Bulldogs are on a bit of a charge now, followed by West Coast, Hawthorn, Geelong and Brisbane to finish.
That's as tough as you get. If they play finals footy now, don't worry about top four. Just if they play finals footy now, it'll be an almighty effort, I think. Yep. That's where they're at.
Well, you don't sneak into finals. You've got to earn your way. And they just got to get back on next session, next performance.
What I do like about that draw, though, so there's one positive about having a draw like that. Clearly, it's tough, but I don't think there's only probably one easy game now. West Coast are improving. Yep. We saw that. What teams like Essendon do, and even GWS, they play with no expectation. They play with a freedom. They just go, you know what? We're just going to take the game on. They're going to upset a few. Port Adelaide are in the same boat. Port Adelaide aren't going to play finals, but they're going to upset a few. And these sides tighten up. So the fact you're playing against one another, I think, could be a bonus.
Actually
help. In some ways. Could help in some ways because you're not playing these free teams that have got no chance of playing.
But then
finals.
Essendon have got to look at their mix change. Parrish goes out, who accumulates but doesn't penetrate the ground. Shields, as much as he can turn it over a little bit, he takes ground, right? Yeah. He penetrates forward. So I think they've got to look at the mix. Perkins went inside. And I think they maybe we've been working on it all year to get our defence right. It's a little bit lame for me. I just think they apply themselves better.
And Stringer back playing out of the midfield four. But that was probably the point, Nath. I don't know about the other boys that were St Kilda, but for me, I was a bit nervous because I did feel that eventually for Essendon, they were going to play a game like that.
Yeah.
Like they're too good of a side to just keep playing poorly. So I felt that there was going to be a game like that in Essendon, and I was hoping that it wasn't on Friday night as a Saints supporter, but it was. And that's probably their baseline. Isn't
but I think
it?
When you're St Kilda and you're not overly gifted on your list and you've done it with hard work and hardness at the ball and pressure and team, you're going to have one of them. I think they just don't focus on it, get Steele back in and go again. This is what our best looks like. This is what we stand for. Let's go again. That's the way I'd be handling
it. It was the poorest they've kicked the footy all year. And well done, obviously, to Nathan Burke and Tim Watson in the middle of the ground who did a fantastic job. Carlton,
They all of a sudden are vulnerable. Without Jacob Wietering, their back end is struggling a little bit. They had a few midfielders out, but injury hurts them more than others.
Yeah, it does. You think eventually something might give defensively. They really need to dominate that clearance contested ball part of their game to almost protect their defence.
Which they didn't early.
A bit like the Western Bulldogs have relied on that for a while, and they weren't able to do it against Richmond. Richmond smashed them in clearance, which was unusual. So that just in the end put too much pressure.
Gee, they were game, though.
They were game.
If that wasn't called touch, they had all the momentum.
Yep.
And they were really game. My concern is, I was sitting there watching, and as an ex-senior coach, you think you got to build a game plan that's going to stand up in all conditions. So, and I think I heard Wayne talking about it. Like, you can't just say, oh, it's raining, let's kick more now, because you're conditioned to chain it out, and you just can't flick the switch. So I think they're vulnerable with the way they play. Whereas Richmond, if you're Richmond, you go, I roll up grand final day, it can be, which they've had, 40 degrees or a wet, windy day. It doesn't matter. We just play the same way. Mm. And that was your mode. And I think that's what you've got to have, a style that can just go and stand up anywhere.
Well, it's interesting because the two big key forwards, Charlie Kerner and Harry Mackay, had five possessions to half time in the wet. So I just wonder, and you were the specialist in the wet weather, you still took 20 marks a game with the chest mark duck. I just wonder whether that's a bit of a chink in the arm for those.
Well, those two in particular, and I saw it on your show actually, Joe, you might have brought it up. Those two in particular rely on their marking. Mm. And I've always said, as a key forward, and that's why I love the way Norton goes about it, he's very good below his knees as well. And the pressure he finds other ways to get the ball, and he can. So you can't be just a mark kick player. You've got to get it. And I think Kerno has the ability to do that.
He's an off-ground player. Yeah, he did nice things. 71 entries against for them is the real
76.
Concern. 76, that's almost the world
they've
record.
They've just, for me, Carlton, just have to, it's a real just hang on. Hang on, correct. Get through this period. The problem is they hang on and they get Wietering back, but most of the others are long-termers. They're not coming back, are they? And if they do...
Well, McGovern...
McGovern's...
No, he's got a history of breaking down. Pitney, the ruckman, comes back.
Yeah, he comes back. So he's
Williams
a big one.
Wietering's
a big
he?
One. Williams, we don't...
Late in the season.
Yeah, so they're really long-term ones. So they're waiting for a couple. But they're, in terms of their quality, who's out, Joey, they've probably got the
They've got six
the most
of their
quality.
Best 22
yeah.
out.
And clearly the club to watch. And they've won four in a row, Collingwood. So now they play the Giants, Gold Coast, North Melbourne, Adelaide and Essendon in the next 5 weeks. So you could see them winning nine games in a row. They should win those five games on paper. You tip them in every game. You might have an upset. They might go 3-2. They might go 4-1. Obviously, we'll speak about the Jordan Dugowie factor in a minute, but Collingwood could be well up there pushing for top four come the end of the year.
Barring, I think, the West Coast game, they'll almost be on top of the ladder. Their best is as good as anyone's. If you go through their midfield, they've got a great blend. They've got the tall defender in Moore going well. They've got Howe back. With Cox standing up in the ruck, it just gives them that term X factor, isn't it? Someone that, when he's on, you can't stop him, right? When he's getting his hand to the ball. And I just think their best is good enough. I think with Melbourne falling away a bit, if they keep their 22 together, the growth in the kids, they're the fourth oldest list in the comp. They're not a young list. We're all falling for that one. They've got a couple of young players that come in, like Dacos is incredible. But they got a real as a skeleton of a finals, a grand final team. 2 years ago. I like them.
Jay-Z, before we head to a break and get into Jay-Z's big three after that break, you got some news on the fixturing.
Yeah, so that'll come out either, the next wave of fixture releases will come out either tomorrow or the day after, Monday, Tuesday. So that'll lock in rounds 20, 21, 22. And there are some blockbuster games in that group. I think round 23 will remain a floating fixture at this stage. But the Melbourne Fremantle game will kick off round 20. What an absolute beauty. It's over in the West. It'll be on Friday night and help give fans some certainty about the run home. That is a mounting frustration in terms of the attendance and the crowd debate. I think fans really want more certainty in the fixture. We'll get that next year, but the announcement will be made in the next couple of days, and there's some absolute beauties. So
they're talking about doing the first 15 games next year in one lot.
Yep.
Is that the right thing? Because if we did it at the start of this year, Essendon have a lot of Friday night games in the back half of the year, which if you did 15 games in a row, they're going to get that.
I like the flexibility, but the feedback from the fans is that they want it to be locked in. So you hear the league is bowing to the fan base and the feedback they're getting there a little bit. I think people like to plan their travel. I prefer it the other way.
Well, they get long-term discounts on airline tickets
and
accommodation.
Wouldn't they prefer to know that if they've booked a trip, say, to come to Melbourne, let's say you're from Tassie and it's locked in and all of a sudden Collingwood are poor and you're a Collingwood supporter. You know what I mean? You want to know that you're coming to a blockbuster.
But aren't we talking about a small percentage of fans that might, travel in round 16 and want to know the fixture up ahead. We're only talking about a very small percentage. It's not affecting, thousands of crowd numbers.
I'll tell you what hasn't been asked, and I want to know, and I know you'll know the answer to this. Why haven't, is there going to be a bye before the finals this year?
Yes. Yep.
Definitely
they've,
is.
They've ticked that
is
off. That, yes.
Is that, that's been ticked
you
off.
You can go away that weekend.
Thank you.
Now you can stream every AFL match live with Triple M Footy.
What an absolute belter.
Just download the Listener app and select Triple M.
It sure does. McDonald's Remodel, Triple M Rocks Footy. You can now stream every game of Triple M Footy live on the Listener app. Download it now. LISTNR. It's time to get into Jay-Z's Big Three.
This is Jay-Z's Big Three.
Yes, thank you, Brownie. Well, for the second day in the row, Collingwood star Jordan Degoe finds himself on the front page of the Herald Sun for his trip to Bali, where he's been heavily criticised for some of the things that were captured on video, in particular where he pulls down a female's top, exposing her breast momentarily before she sort of bats him away. Now, it's a huge 24 hours for the star free agent, who will begin meetings with key people as soon as his feet touch the ground in Melbourne. And we expect that to be later this afternoon. The cameras are already waiting. So he's going to meet with his brother-in-law manager, Ryan Vaig, and then that'll kickstart meetings with senior officials at the club. Of course, the president, the CEO, Graham Wright, the football manager, and the senior coach, Craig McRae. Now, very broadly, no one likes the look of what Jordan Degoe did. There's some real foolishness and some silliness on show. It was a consensual act that we can see. The female captured in the video has said there's nothing to see here. So she's cool with it. But for a bloke who has been on his last chance, I don't know how many times, I've lost count now. He's hurt himself. He's hurt his contract value. And it's a shocking look for the Collingwood Football Club, who are in a period of change. Right, the Magpies want to be better than this, clearly. And they've had so many conversations with Jordan about his behaviour. He's done so well up until this point. He's gone to Bali and he's put himself back in the spotlight once again. Now, the AFL aren't happy with this.
What do you expect Collingwood to say? They haven't said a lot yet. And also, obviously, the AFL, you're about to say they're not happy. So
yep.
The two big ones, Collingwood and also the AFL.
I don't see how he can be suspended at this stage, because it's a consensual thing. However, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a strong statement from the coach or the club in sort of saying, we're concerned by the behaviour. We're continuing to work with Jordan on this sort of stuff. He is a work in progress. So it's sort of condemning the actions without punishing himself. So I think there's a bit of a grey area. What I think will happen, and this is probably the biggest outcome to come from this, I think Jordan's contract talks with the Collingwood Football Club are about to be put on hold. So I think the wheels had been turning a little bit on this.
So you think that's happening now at Collingwood?
I think that that will come from the meetings over the next 24, 48 hours. They will get the facts, they will ascertain their position, and I suspect the club will then go, right, we park these talks on your future, we'll see what happens, what proof is in the pudding over the next 8 weeks, and then we meet again. In that time, they essentially test the market to see if anyone else comes to the party. We're all watching St Kilda. They face a huge decision whether they're going to make an $800,000, $900,000 risk on a player we know can win games, can also be a bit of a risk off the field. So all eyes on St Kilda in this stage. If St Kilda don't make that offer, then Collingwood go, right, contract terms, well, the contract value is on our terms, and they don't lowball him, but they get him for, say, $700,000. Talking clubland is that Jordan Degoe wants a six-year deal worth $1 million a season, a $6 million contract. That's what clubs are saying. That's what he wants at the moment. I'll be surprised if he gets that at Collingwood. In fact, he won't get that at Collingwood. Will St Kilda deliver the big money? It's a fascinating situation.
I couldn't see $1 million over six at any club. I think he's a wonderful player, but I hear there's $750 on offer at Collingwood. But
which is about fair.
If they do wait now,
yep.
I think the market will cool on the back of this.
And should it?
Let's park a few things and talk about Collingwood, whether they should have let him go. I believe he's an adult. He should be able to make his own decisions. But so Craig McRae has obviously trusted him to go over there and probably didn't want him to go, but they've trusted him to go.
Yep.
So then the onus is on him to not be in the spotlight that he is at the moment. So there are plenty of ways that you can be at a villa and have fun and not be out in the public eye. And that's the part I'm pretty sure they'd be devastated about, because they have backed him in, they have trusted him, they have not said you can't go, which I don't think they can do anyway, but I don't see any problem with going, but then he's got to hold up his end of the bargain as well.
they'd be completely disappointed. All right, that he's in the headlines. You can still go and have a good time, but be smart about it. I saw Braden Maynard up there in Palm Cove. Scotty Penderbury's up there at Hamilton Island. Jeremy Howe went away. No dramas with any of those guys. So it's just an immaturity which is on show. This is a bloke who was arrested in New York, Joey. Right, guilty of harassment. And other charges were dropped.
Yeah, so I think we're all in agreement. He's allowed to go out in Bali. He's just got to tell his friends to put your phones away. I don't want to be in any... Oh, that's already got him in trouble in New York when his mate filmed him and was carrying on like a goose. And then he's done it again, and it's his friends that are filming him. So I'm just staggered that he wasn't smart enough to say, put the phones away, let's just have a good night without me being anywhere where people can see it. That's where I'm a bit like...
You were staggered. You were surprised.
My eyebrows were raised that he chose to go to Bali. I agree that he can if he wants to. I was like, geez, really, Geordie? Then choosing to let someone film him and post it on Instagram, like, you know, that's where it's like, come on, Jordan, you've got to be smarter than that.
How does the chat go, Ross? You sit Jordan
to go
down.
I never heard him. I just delegated it to the footy operations manager. You can't make players do anything. And I used to say, look, I just pick the team, son. You want to go to Bali, that's okay. I just pick the team. So if Collingwood are really upset, if they really believe this has damaged his brand, well, he shouldn't play and he shouldn't be there next year. So I can't believe we're making it about a monetary figure in his contract. We go straight to that. You're really talking about behaviour. So if it's behaviour you think is unacceptable, why would any club take him? Well, I'm not saying it is, but we go straight to the value of his contract. And Joey's point, it's if the cameras are there, I don't think that's the point. You really want to behave and act in a manner that whether the cameras are there or not, it doesn't matter. I think that's what you're looking for, aren't you?
Then what would you say the behaviour then?
I'm not judging the behaviour. Look, my flipping side, a couple of winners here. Geordie had a big night and the girl's Instagram went up by 2,500 from 15 to 17,500. She said there's nothing to see here. So to me, that's the sort of end of the story, isn't it?
No.
Why?
No, because it's
because you're making the moral judgment.
Well, it's a shocking, well, somebody's got to.
Do they?
Well, I thought the
laws of the land.
It's the,
isn't ultimately it's, we're all governed by the laws of the land.
What laws has he broken, Jay?
No, I don't think he's broken
what
any laws.
He hasn't broken any.
So therefore, it's the moral police.
So he hasn't broken any laws whatsoever.
Yeah.
So you're saying he's poor for Collingwood's brand?
So Jay, he's not.
No, let Jay answer that. Is he poor for the brand?
He's not broken any laws yet. We're talking about it still, and it's gone on in his front page. He hasn't broken any laws whatsoever. And he's on the front page, what, 2-3 days in a row now?
Yeah.
And he hasn't broken a law.
Well,
what do you take to
him? He hasn't broken a law.
No, he hasn't. No.
I could sit here and list plenty of people that have broken laws and not been on the front page. And I'm one that has been on the front page of the paper. I'm saying that there's been plenty that have not had this coverage for a guy that has not broken the law. I think, and look, there's so many things you could say here, and I don't feel I can, because I'd be hypocritical if I was to make comments on it. I'm disappointed about a lot of hypocritical comments from people in this industry that have made comments that shouldn't be making comments.
You think it's
as well.
A pylon?
I think it's a massive pylon. I don't think that the look was a good look. I agree with all of that, but he's broken no laws here. And this is a massive pylon and a massive overreaction.
So how does he steer himself?
Let's make it clear we don't condone any actions.
It wasn't a good look.
Yeah. No, we're not condoning anything. I find it really difficult that we go straight to his contract worth, because that's not really what we're discussing, his contract worth, is it? So we're saying he can play and you can have him, long as you get him at the right price. Well, I mean, that to me is hypocritical. If you're going to sit in judgment and saying he's a nightmare and he's not worth the headache, why give him a contract at all? You know what I mean? So once you decide to give him a contract, give him what he's worth for his footy, or you say, look, we want him, but because he brings us some headline, we'll get him cheaper. I think that's hypocrisy.
Even though there's no crime here, do you think that what he has done, the coverage that this has gotten, do you think that it fits?
It warrants it.
It warrants it? Do you think this warrants the coverage that it's got? If this was anyone else other than Jordan Ngoi because of what happened in America, would he got this sort of coverage?
No, but
probably
that's
not.
How about Geordie's pushback?
How about his pushback? Give me a comment on that. His pushback to the scrutiny.
It's the media's fault.
Someone will do something silly. Yeah. So
take some ownership, Ross.
So for me, I think it's about prehab. I like Nick Riewoldt. It's discipline over indulgence. If if you're involved in a club trying to win a flag, every day you're making choices that take you further or closer away. So they need to breathe out. They need to relax. I think his managers, his confidants used to say, look, I know you want to go to Bali. Are there any other options? What does your night look like?
His manager, what, his brother.
What are your threats? What are the threats to you, Jordan, when you're going out? We know you're a target. We know you're on the spotlight. We want you to have some drinks. So, because it's too late on the night. That's what I would say. You know, I feel for him. He's growing up in the public eye, but he's a star and it goes with the territory and there's no escaping it. So, look, it's been a fine line here. But I'd love to see him start Collingwood. I think he will start Collingwood. I think he's having a really good year. But it's a sharp, sharp, sharp reminder to him, mate. You're not a normal citizen. And what goes with the territory and your personality, you need to adapt and adjust. Otherwise, it is going to blow up.
And, Jay, is it fair to say the statement that he put out just shows that he still doesn't get it? That's more the concerning part for me, that he probably still does it. It still hasn't sunk in.
And it took everyone by surprise that that statement was actually put out. Normally you work with your footy club or the AFL around these sorts of things, but he took no responsibility or ownership for his actions whatsoever.
I think...
persecution of the media, et cetera.
Yeah, and I know. And because he's made those comments, they'll just go harder. Mm. That's invariably what happens.
Well, you're not going to beat the media.
No. And I understand.
So what he needs to do is modify.
Yeah, which is what they've been trying to work with.
I understand what you said about the price and the contract. But if you're Collingwood, you're sitting there saying, well, now we are going to get him cheaper. And them as a football club, obviously trying to do everything they possibly can, but all of a sudden they see the fact that, well, nobody is going to pay overs for Jordan Ngoi. So we want him in our footy club because he's a great player, probably in their top two best players in the competition. He can help us win a premiership. And all of a sudden, we still need to educate him. We still need to help him. But at the same time, through his own actions, we're going to get him cheaper.
Yeah, no, that's right. But still they're making decision. He's good enough to be at our club. So either he's damaging your brand, he's unacceptable, and you get rid of him, or you go, well, that's Geordie. We're always going to deal with bits and pieces, but it's at a level we'll deal with and we'll win games of footy. Because at the end of the day, yeah, it's a very, very difficult, you know, the game of disrepute, the young man, it's just very difficult.
AFL is watching Collingwood's next moves over the next 24, 48 hours. Very interestingly, his former coach, Nathan Buckley, is interesting about what he said. Let's take a listen to him, Nick Riewoldt, and also Gary Lyon on Fox Footy yesterday.
People say the best form of defence is a good offence, and he's certainly gone on the attack. It's probably the opposite of what I was expecting in terms of a statement.
What would you have done?
Probably would have acknowledged, you know, the optics of the situation, I think. And then, you know, if you're looking for sort of an out, I guess, you make a statement around, you know, the freedom of players and you know, the fact that players are grown-ups and can make their own choices about going. But there are so many layers to this within sort of the one incident. Clearly there was the pulling of the clothing and the fact that he was in Bali and that was criticised prior to any of the other stuff. So there are so many layers.
I don't think it was a good decision to go to Bali. I know that the club have been criticised for that, but you don't hold your players' hands like they're preschool kids. Yeah, you've got to treat them like adults when they are adults. And at 26 years of age, you're an adult. So Geordie has to take responsibility for the decision to go over. He has to take responsibility for the position that he has put himself in and the club in. And there's been a whole heap that has come from it, and there's a whole heap that will come from it, unfortunately. The rest of his teammates, his staff, were away on their break and on their bye trying to get some R&R, and on a Friday night or a Saturday morning they're facing this, and I don't know how much heart space and head space they're going to get, unfortunately.
Now, there's several instances of him not showing common sense, you know, which is the greatest concern for a footy club, especially a high-priced player. When you want to get him in there to get you over the hump and win a premiership, you want blokes that are smart and got common sense. So we know he can play football, but some of the decisions are questionable he does make outside of the footy field. Clearly, I wouldn't blame Collingwood for this. You know, like Buck said, he's a 26-year-old man. Craig McRae, my old teammate, is in his first year. He would want to give him the opportunity to act like an adult. But it's up to Jordan Ngoi. Personal responsibility there. Just common sense. You keep yourself out of the press this year, I would have thought.
Going to continue to be a big story, Brownie, and thanks to Fox Footy for the audio.
The biggest names, the biggest games.
That seagull's gone through the protected area.
Yeah. Triple M rocks footy.
This is the Triple M Sunday Rub. Gold Coast up against Adelaide, a standalone game on a Sunday. I don't understand how we've got this standalone game on a Sunday. I don't think we should have the buys the last 3 weeks we have. But Jay-Z, your big three, the first one was a big one and we've got two to go.
Yes, the Western Bulldogs win over GWS. We know the two teams have got a nice rivalry. The Bulldogs still hanging on, aren't they? You can't discount them completely in what was a very high-scoring game. But there was an extraordinary twist in this story with Cody Waitman, who was outstanding in the game, dislocated his elbow and then came back on to continue to play on the game, which is just about as brave an act as I think we've seen in this season. And his coach, Luke Beveridge, was full of praise for the small forward after the match.
It was a nasty injury, so he's brave. He came back on and there's a dislocated elbow. I think Belly put it back in place. It's pretty swollen. I just walked past him then. So, hopefully it settles down quickly. But, how significant it is, I think you always hope with those kinds of injuries that you don't chip a bit of bone off. I'd imagine that our guys will scan it and see what's happened. But hopefully it's not too bad other than the trauma of dislocating. He goes hard at the collision balls and he's an extremely good aerialist for his size. What an impact he had in the first half. He was outstanding. And then he fought the good fight in the second half and kept the legs ticking over for us. And he was pivotal to us winning the game tonight.
So Waitman kicks five, Aaron Norton kicks five goals. They score 125 points to the GWS's 105. And Bevo wasn't, didn't love the defensive aspect of his game, but are you half glass full or you half glass empty on this Western Bulldogs performance in that they've been able to score, but the defence is still a concern as well?
Defence is a massive concern. I think it's been good that they're scoring, but allowing Toby Green, the amount of goals he kicked when nobody was on him,
kick
this is
seven.
The best player in that side. And he
player stood
that there,
would have played on him went off, remember?
Jiraiya.
A lot of times, but they still have someone to go back out to him.
I know,
so
but I'm just saying the preferred opponent went off.
He stood on his own in contest when the ball came in was extraordinary.
Yeah, but we know the Dogs don't play a 1v1 defence. They defend as a team. They zone. That's how they play. Look, we
and
know
they
they've
press.
Got they're pressed. Yeah, they still press.
Some of it was blind defence too, though.
Like, yeah, they do. They can get
they
caught.
They go in third man in. They have no impact on the competition. And then Toby Green standing there, the smartest player on the field, 15 metres on his own.
But that's how they play. They live and die by the sword. Well, that's how they've decided. They think if they play 1v1, they're the worst. I think they're one of the worst one-on-one defensive teams in the competition if they defend one-on-one. So that's how they choose to play. Now, got them to a grand final last year. A lot of their numbers in regards to their front half game, their contested ball, the stuff that made them a really, really good team last year is back in their game. Yes, they've still got issues when it goes inside their defensive 50, but we know they're a team that need to protect their defence with their winning ball and playing it in their front half. And you've got to remember, the Giants aren't playing like many other sides. The Giants are attacking the corridor more than any other team in the competition. So if it comes off, you're going to get scored against. And some other teams on the run home, Brisbane Lions got scored against by the Giants as well. So you will get scored against by the Giants. But they are more vulnerable defensively than the Western Bulldogs, the Giants, so that's why the Dogs won the shootout.
West Coast kicked 13 against the Giants
a
few weeks ago. So that they're playing that brand of footy that you can score against them. But I really loved it. I don't think I've seen a game for a long time where you saw so many one-on-one contests inside the forward 50.
Yeah.
And even when they had numbers back, they were still able to get it to a one-on-one marking contest. It was
a great gun to watch.
It was really good to watch.
Speaking specifically about Cody Waitman, if I'm Luke Beveridge, I'm saying that's your starting point. What you served up tonight in that first half, he led hard at the ball early. So he got on the end of a few, I reckon three or four marks he took leading up at the footy. Then the hangers over the back and the playing for free kicks, that can come later. But your starting point in the first quarter is working hard and leading up.
Was that
giving
off Himmelberg? I didn't watch it. Was it?
West did a really good job, but I thought that then in the second quarter, once he'd established himself, he kicked three goals from leading out of the football, then he started to jump over the back, then he started to get a few cheap ones, so his starting position always has to be working hard.
I think it looked good, because sometimes with Cody Waitman, I think he gets a bit lost of what he is as a player, because he is a marking small, he sometimes gets caught in between, am I meant to crumb and get front and square, am I meant to lead? I think I liked it, he had a bit more space last night. Norton got a little bit higher, and Waitman almost played as a bit of a pseudo small full forward, which is probably his go. So I think it actually worked.
I think we're forgetting no Smith, no Hunter, right? So they're the third attack in the league, the Bulldogs, and they're the 10th defence. And the midfield protects your defence. And we know it's a better than win than you think, because we know GWS's midfield is the absolute strength, right? And they're the ones that Canelio's been going again, and, you know, or Kelly's rolling.
Yeah,
and
Tom Green.
So all of a sudden we go, well, we're third and 10th. We're scoring. We're going to get some soldiers back here. And you can defy, you tighten your defence up. I remember Tony Alshaw, Dennis Pagan's loyal lieutenant, used to talk about North. Because we used to talk about attack and defence, and I'd be all attacking. But he said, you go and have a look at the last 8 weeks, son. You look at us tighten up the top four. So you can tighten your defence up, and I think that would be in Luke's mind that, no, there's some wins in this. We'll get those two back. We can tighten our defence. Pressure around the ball will help our defenders, and we're scoring, and we can score better. So I think they're still coming. I thought they'd win that game. I'd like where they're at. They started slowly, like Port Adelaide. I think they started the last couple of years slowly. I think if you're Port and Bulldogs, you go, well, we didn't really get them to the line in the manner expected. We need to sharpen that up next year so we're not doing too much in the back half.
So Marcus Bontempelli, he's 28 possessions back to his best form. He was really debilitated with that ankle injury earlier in the season, but he's starting to get back to his best. We mentioned Bailey Smith early, so he's out for two matches on that conduct unbecoming charge, of course, and then the two matches for the headbutt. He's due back in round 18. Luke Beveridge spoke about Bailey Smith and how they're trying to support him through a very challenging period.
Yeah, he's put some things in place to make sure that he's got balance in his life and he doesn't, he's reticent or he mitigates the circumstances where he's exposed to situations. Not necessarily what's happened, just you can imagine the public life of Bailey Smith, and he's just got to continue to be smart and intelligent with what he does away from the club, and it's nothing to do with, you know, the actual, the detection or the sort of social media trial. It's just, it's complicated for him, and we just need to help him with that and get some continuity, and, you know, because obviously we know when an individual is involved with something untoward, then it affects everyone, and he knows that, and he's been really contrite and apologetic, and but he's back training with us, and now we've just got to scale up and look to the future to see when he might come back into the team after a month or so.
Luke Beveridge talking about Bailey Smith there, back in a couple of weeks.
Triple M rocks footy.
How good has this been?
Gold Coast up against Adelaide on a Sunday afternoon. This is the Triple M Sunday Rub for McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks footy. Always very fortunate to get a senior coach pre-game, and we do have that today in Adelaide coach Matthew Nix. And welcome to the Sunday Rub, Nixie. 50 games as the Adelaide coach. How have you reviewed those first 50 games as the head?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. 50-game milestone. It's an early one. It's been really enjoyable. Obviously, it's a job you get into because you love it. Got an incredible group of people at this footy club, so I've enjoyed every minute of it. Hasn't exactly brought the results that you're after. I'd love to have a few more wins on the board in that, but what we have got is a group that are developing really fast, and I'm sure sooner rather than later we'll start chalking up some wins.
Coming off the bye, Matty, how have you assessed the first half of the season? You do a bit of a review. What have you looked at and been pleased with in the area you're trying to grow in this second half of the season?
Yeah, we review nowadays right the way through. So we're, you know, with technology and statistics and analytics the way it is at the moment, you look at the game, you look at the trends, you keep an eye on exactly where you sit in amongst the group and, you know, what areas you've got to improve on, and maybe, you know, weapons that you do have at your disposal. Well, we're really pleased with a lot of areas of our footy at this point in time. We're super competitive. We love the contest. You know, we bring that every week. You know, if we don't bring that, then we know we're way off. There's only been one or two games over the last few years where we've been in that position. So we take pride in that. But we also understand there's still a lot to work on for us. And, you know, probably the ball use is the big one for us. The execution when we get our opportunities, both, you know, execution by foot, also by hand. And then our finishing in front of goal. It's been something that's come up over the last month where we just haven't been able to finish off. And it's painful to to play that way because you do all the work and then don't finish and the opposition go down and score on you. It's a 12-point turnaround. But it's an area we're working on and an area that hopefully today we'll see, we bring a stronger game in that space.
And hopefully that will continue to come. And Nixie, I'll tell you what, Darcy Fogarty's grabbed my attention. At the start of this season, he was one player I thought, gee, I wonder what's going to happen here with his development. Is he going to kick on or not? But you must have been impressed with how, I mean, particularly probably the last month, what was it, 6 goals in his last 2 games against Geelong and West Coast. Do you feel like he's developing into the player we all thought he could become?
Yeah, we do. Look, we're really proud of what he's done, actually, the last, this season, to be honest. He's under a fair bit of pressure. Adelaide, we're really passionate in Adelaide about our footy in South Australia and especially our fans, and they do want to see him succeed. They love him. What comes with that is a fair bit of pressure. So he's played his whole career with that pressure. It's time really now that he needs to step up, and he's done a lot of work on not only on-field but off-field. The stuff that he's doing off-field, the mental space, challenging himself on that. And he's getting reward at the moment, the last couple of rounds especially, as you mentioned. He started to really play some footy, play with confidence. It looks like he's got a bit more of a swagger about him, and that's really what we've been working on. We took him back to the Sandful and he played a number of games back there, and we were looking for exactly that confidence. Well, let's hope he brings that again today, because we'd love to see some consistency in that area.
Nixie, just to follow up on that, so you got guys like Phil Thorpe and Himmelberg and these sorts of guys, and all of them, and along with Fogarty and a couple of others, a lot of them have been in and out, so back to the SNFL, back in. And as you said, confidence is a big thing. Where's the right balance? When do you say, look, we've just got to stick with this guy? Or is it just going to be a simple case, we want you to grab it with both hands, and until you do, you will be in and out?
Well, it's different. It's different for individuals. We make decisions around what we feel is best for the individual, not so much locking in a certain way we're going to take players in and out, because, we've got a Jacko Haitley at the moment's in the side, and had a few games early where he's a bit shaky, but then was able to, keeping him in and seeing the potential there and allowing him to get a little bit more consistency at the higher level. He's now been able to take his game, up and lift it to the AFL standard. So it's horses for courses. It's, we work differently with each player. We took Riley O'Brien out, if you remember, earlier in the year. His form wasn't where he would have liked it. And we needed him to have a lift. And it was 1 week in the end where he went back and just gained some confidence in himself, maybe also putting a bit of pressure. Sometimes, it can be subconsciously, you're just a little bit off and you're finding it hard to find that form. It's just changing it up. It's like a circuit breaker, for some players. And we've been able to do that with a number of players this year and had some good results.
Nixie, just looking above year on year, you got the analytics, you're doing analysis weekly. Are you ahead of last year? You hear David Noble talk about the micro wins and quarters won. How's your quarters won? Do you feel the metrics tell you you've improved this year, or your group stagnated or gone backwards? Which is it?
Yeah, we feel like we're well and truly ahead of this time last year. We can dive. Contest is something we're really proud of, consistent in it. And a lot of it you can dive in. You could find any stat. You can use stats to tell a story exactly what you're after. What we try and do is stay in the three key areas that we want our players to play by and live by, those values. Now, we've increased that to a level well beyond where we were 12 months ago, the consistency of that. And we're talking right across our footy club. Not, our squad of 44 is what we're looking at. Our SNFL team now is a super competitive side, down at that level. So there's pressure from below. We're able to select the side now with genuine form, players playing their roles, having substantial impacts on games. So rather than maybe bringing a player in who we get an injury, or we have a player not quite in the form we're after at AFL level, we're able to bring a player in from below now who well and truly deserves that opportunity. So we feel like we're a long way ahead. As I said, stats can be misleading sometimes, but we do keep an eye on a lot of that. And some of our numbers this year, you get to midway through the third quarter, even the last quarter, and we've been well and truly in games and cost ourselves with some execution in front of goal, cost ourselves with some ball use at times, and it's ended up changing the game. We lose by 20, 30 points.
Josh O'Shelley helps. He comes back into the side. Speaking Adelaide coach Matthew Nix. Matthew, would you bring in the last touch out of bounds rule if you're in charge? You obviously watch a lot of Sandful footy. The AFL strongly considering it. Yes or no?
It just is a simple one-word answer.
Are you in favour or not?
Look, we get to look at the rule, and yes, I would. Look, it'll change the game, though, and that's what we've got to understand is, we're asking these list managers and recruiters to draft certain players because we throw the ball in from a boundary. you know, we have ball ups around the ground. Well, we'll still have those. But the, when you start taking out boundary throw-ins, it's a different game.
So it'd shape your recruiting choices.
Well, of course it does. It's like all the rule changes that, that they that we are bringing in over the last however many years. It's hard to plan for the future when the game continues to change. I haven't seen many games around the world that change as much as we do. But at the same time, we just keep rolling with the punches. And I think it's a great rule because it actually punishes a side for poor execution. If you kick the ball or you possess the ball out of bounds, well, the opposition do deserve that next possession, in my opinion.
So you've seen it firsthand in the Sandfall, obviously, more than others. So it benefits the sides that can retain the footy. Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's that side, it's that part of it, but it's also your inside mids, these big inside mids, big bodies that, you know, they live for stoppage. You know, they want to fight it out in around the stoppage. We get a repeat stoppage if we can, you know, as a side. We pride ourselves around our ability to fight at stoppage. You know, if we take out boundary throw-ins, well, you know, we'd have to have a look at that and who it was we're drafting. I got no doubt that when you watch it at SNFL level, it's a faster game because the ball goes out of bounds and it's straight back in. Possession to the opposition, you know, the ball shifts off the line and the game turns into a little bit more of a basketball game. So maybe there's a different athletic type of player that
Oh, we can make it rugby league. You have six goes and we have six goes. I think contest is fundamental to our game. I think we've got to be careful taking contest out.
Yeah, and that's probably where the answer's not a yes, no. We've got to factor in a lot of, you know, what that's going to bring to our game or take away from it.
Nixie, thanks for joining us on the Sunday Rub on Triple M today and good luck against the Gold Coast Suns.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks,
buddy.
Interesting words then. Very interesting.
We've almost got it anyway. The really obvious one is when you kick it forward. So you're going into your forward line, it goes out. So you can automatically run, grab that, and then you're off again. That's the one that will change.
So they still throw it in if it's a fist out of bounds, a tackle out of bounds. So
fumble out of bounds.
I spoke to Kane Corns this morning when we were speaking about it, and he said there wasn't a huge change. It's pretty much what it is at the moment. But from what I'm hearing from Matthew Nix right there, there is a big change. Yes. So well, speed, you've got two different opinions.
Clearly, speed will speed things up because as soon as it comes off a boot or a handball or whatever it may be, doesn't matter. A player's running to get that ball as quick, whereas sometimes you're standing there waiting for the umpire to say whether it's deliberate or not. So now you just know. You're getting over to get it so you can play on quickly.
I think the game's in good shape. We had a game, 129 points, 105.
Yeah.
You know, you got the Tigers who are a counterpunch team, don't rely on stoppage. You've got Carlton who are a stoppage team. You've got different styles, quick control. Now's the time just to leave it alone, I think. And then we worry about people talking about, oh, the umpire paid a 50 for the stand rule. Like, the stand rule's responsible for all of this. I think it's in good shape. Just a little bit of common sense on the tweaking.
Felt like Ross bristled a little bit then and they went head to head.
Triple M rocks footy.
Starting to rock and roll. Sunday afternoon, can't wait for this one, but every Sunday we have the quiz.
Pot, Palmer, and proving you're smarter than your mates. It's the Sunday Rubs pub quiz.
All right, tissue buzz.
Lele.
Ross.
JJ.
Duck.
Duck Duck always answers the same question. Most questions. All right. Have you been paying attention this week? Which Carlton star played game 150 on Thursday night?
Paddy Cripps.
He certainly did. Sharp Joey Starr. Nicky Winmar was inducted into the Australian Football Hall of Fame this week. Which two AFL clubs did he play for? That was Duck.
St Kilda Bulldogs.
Was that Duck?
Yes.
Was that Duck?
Yeah.
It was. Bill Dempsey was inducted.
Yes, he was from WA, Western Australia.
He certainly was, Duck.
And he was from South Fremantle.
You don't know, Duck. Which waffle club?
Ross. East Fremantle.
No. Is he synonymous with?
Come on, you can't. That's the last time.
Yep.
East Perth.
Yes, East Perth is it. That's a good guess. Very good guess, Joey.
I was on the right track.
Three mid-season rookie draft selections from this year have already debuted. Name two of them.
Sam Durden and Massimo D'Ambrosio.
Good one, Joey.
Will he be the best player of the mid-season draft?
I don't know.
Oh, NFL star Nick Scott was a special guest at Thursday night game. Which Super Bowl champion team does he play for?
LA Rams, JJ.
Duck, duck. LA Rams.
Yes, Duck. Well done.
He didn't do it right.
The AFL announced this week that for the next month.
JJ, kids free. Rounds 14 to 17.
Lee.
Yes, Lee.
Under the age of 15, though.
No, you've got to give that to Jay.
I'm going to give it to Jay.
Good.
Zero was the answer. Jay. Okay. Cryptic name game. A current Gold Coast player whose surname would finish this sentence. I am at my...
Lately. Wits. Jared Witts.
Yes, Witsy. Witsy. He's good today, Joey. Mm. A former Bulldog and Swan whose surname is a shape and also something that features...
Lately. Round.
Barry Round certainly is. David Round.
David well. Round. He came to North, David.
He's at Lucy.
He's couldn't
is that Barry's brother? Was he related?
No, son.
Oh, his son. Oh, yes. Yeah.
He was a chip off the old block. Don't ever get in the shower with him.
Absolutely not. Okay, numbers game. I'll name a VFL AFL player, past or present, and their football club. All I need is their playing number. Geez, haven't gone. Rabsy's gone real basic here. Mm. Stephen Kernahan.
Four.
It's like saying, what number was Gary Ablett's Matthew Pavlich.
29.
Oh, here we go. I've got to switch on here.
He's a numbers man.
Paul Roos.
Lily.
He got it again.
Which club?
One.
Oh.
Yeah, at Fitzroy. Heath Short. That was Luke.
39.
And Michael Tuck.
Michael Tuck, not 29, was it?
No, yeah, they said
20. No,
Bartlett.
That was Bartlett.
Michael Tuck.
Oh.
You're done, mate. You haven't got it.
Yeah, I know.
Who else is going to buzz in?
Oh. JJ.
Yeah.
40.
This is Michael Tuck. Hey, come on. The game's in order.
That's enough time. That's enough time.
Yes.
I can't picture it.
Number one?
No.
48.
No. 48. He was 17.
Oh, yeah. He was too. I was thinking of the teens.
Okay, general knowledge. Taylor Walker leads the Adelaide Crows all-time goalkeeping list with 510. Who sits second and third?
Lee. Tony Modra.
Yes.
And Darren Jarman.
No.
That'd be Rupert.
No.
Modra. JJ. Scotty Hodges.
No.
Scotty Hodges.
Robram.
No. Eddie Betts. Oh. Eddie Betts was second. Scotty Hodges kicked 153 goals. In 1990, won the McGeary Medal, came into the AFL and couldn't quite replicate that form. A bit of knowledge for him. The Gold Coast Suns have had three AFL coaches in their history. Name them.
Ross Lally.
Yes. That was Ross.
Yeah. That would be Guy McKenna.
Yes.
That would be Rodney Eade.
Yes.
And that would be Stuart Dew.
And it was name them in order too, Ross. That's your first point.
Mm. Thank you.
Who was the inaugural captain of the Adelaide Crows?
That would be McDermott.
Is his first name?
Chris.
Yes, it certainly is.
Bones.
Nearest to the pin.
Yes.
Everyone gets to go at this duck. The Gold Coast Suns have played 249 AFL games in their existence. How many have they won?
Lee, I'll go first. 68.
70.
Go Ross.
Duck.
Go Ross. that would 56.
71.
No.
Ross was 62 was the closest to
hang
that.
On. Just, hang on.
What did you get?
68.
Yeah, you got
that's equal. 68. And that's six.
Let me have a point, Joe.
I'm going to
need half a point. I need half.
It to Ross.
The only reason I'm feeling okay is I watched BJ and took this morning's quiz. And...
Who am I? I was born on the 19th of March, 1975, and I played 282 AFL games for one club. I hold the record for the most goals ever kicked at the MCG.
Duck, duck.
Oh,
yep.
Oh, that's Matty Richardson.
Yep.
Four for Duck, and Duck has a win. Well done, Duck. It's been a long time between drinks for you. Right, a really good win.
You needed
really
that for your win. Confidence, Duck. I was starting to worry about your confidence in recent weeks.
The biggest names, the biggest games.
Some blokes are quick, but they can't play. So
Triple M rocks footy.
Gold Coast up against Adelaide Sunday afternoon footy for McDonald's Rim Hot Water. Triple M rocks footy. Every week we come and we hitch our caravan to one man. It is Jay-Z. He's brought together one of the best segments in radio. It is Hitch Your Caravan.
On Triple M Sunday Rub.
Do it for a caravan.
What?
Caravan.
There's lots of room for you on the bandwagon.
We're hitching the caravan.
You did come a couple of weeks ago heavy-handed saying that I have sold this segment and we're going to have a sponsor. Is there any update on that or is that just...
Deal in the works.
Right.
It's coming.
Of course it is.
My man just coming back from the Grand Prix. And then I think he watched the Socceroos win over Peru at the weekend. So he's had some overseas business and be back here talking with us shortly. Hey, do you know what I want to hitch my... And I still can't believe this is true, really. But Chris Scott has never been the coach of the year, the AFL-CIO coach of the year. Our learned colleague here, Ross Lyon, has been the coach of the year. I think it was, oh, he's so many successful seasons,
well,
Ross.
Not really. I just chipped away with Joey for 20 wins and 2 losses.
Chris Scott has never received that accolade, and I feel like we're all, well, there was a section of the football world which were expecting the Cats to fall off the cliff, but as we sit at round 14, they've knocked off the West Coast Eagles and they're 4 points adrift off a top spot, looking to shore up another top 4 spot. So I want to hitch my caravan to Chris Scott finally getting the due recognition he deserves and being the senior coach of the year, as they could potentially pull off another top 2 berth. And Ross, this is extraordinary, this Geelong's record, but they have been outside the top 4 only 3 times since 2007.
And that is extraordinary.
It hasn't received a lot of recognition. I feel like we sort of, you know, pick on the Cats, and Chris can be a bit maligned at times. They don't, you know, he's only won the one flag, which is still a great effort.
They're not bad, like one.
It's extraordinarily consistent.
Because in this era, and I'll speak for Ross a little bit, because in this era, unless you, for whatever reason, unless you win a premiership, you're considered a failure, which is wrong.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
I'm saying it's absolutely wrong. I think if you finish in the top 4, then that is a successful season. So, and you say it a lot, Joey, but preliminary final. So you give yourself a chance to make the grand final. That has to be considered an absolute successful season for your footy club.
I think I read a stat this morning. If they made the top 4 this year, it'd be 13 out of 16 seasons if they finished top 4.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did Clarko ever win coach of the year?
Yeah.
Yes, I believe he did.
What year?
I'll come back to you.
I'm being told by the producer that maybe he didn't. Ross, you won it in 2009.
Correct. For the reasons that
did you
put on
that?
The table.
Where's the trophy?
I got a great, yeah, it was a great prize. It was two around the world, airline tickets first class.
Was it really?
Yeah. Joey, sorry.
What about your players?
I declared it to the tax department too.
At least you can do something with that. We went around and we do the Friday huddle sometimes when Juddy was here at the Judd Cave. And he had a Lee Matthews trophy. I kid you not, Lee Matthews trophy holding open the door. So he opened it, and then he put the Lee Matthews trophy in front of it to make the door not stop.
They're very heavy. They're very heavy.
This one was heavy. So he's using it as a doorstop.
I've got a couple.
He uses his Norm Smith as a wind chime.
Very good start, Jay-Z. Can I go next?
Yes, you can.
I'm going to hitch my caravan that next weekend's weekend of football will be the greatest home and away round we have seen in decades.
Next extravaganza.
If you look ahead, we have Melbourne v Brisbane, 1-2. Mm. Carlton v Fremantle, 5-3. Yep. Geelong v Richmond, who are 4-6, but they're both actually the top 2 informed teams in the competition. Sydney and St Kilda playing each other, who are hanging in there for a spot in the top 8. And then you've almost got a bit of a mini elimination final. Port Adelaide v the Gold Coast Suns. The loser, would fair to say, can't play finals. The winner could still give themselves a chance. So that's 5 of the 8 games. So I know we've had a little dry run, Brownie, with some average games and all that, but next weekend, boy, oh boy, it will be one for the ages. How's that?
I like that.
Way?
Very good. I like it. Good round of footy.
Yeah, I'm going to hitch my caravan to Sam Draper. And I know I'm probably late, but I not late, because he's already a cult hero. And I'm just loving the improvement that he's showing. I thought he was excellent the other night. Played a big part in that win, and I just love his competitiveness.
I like what he said yesterday. He said that when I started playing a few years ago, I was playing against ruckmen to stop them. Now I go out there to beat them.
Mm. Yeah. So anyway.
Well, when he gets a chance at a first bounce, rather than sitting on the bench.
It was an extraordinary decision last week. That was.
Yeah. I'm hitching my wagon to Jordan De Goey.
Caravan.
He will handle this. He will take the feedback, and he will come back and help drive the Pies.
Into the finals. I like it, Ross.
Hitching a caravan to Jordan De Goey.
Well done, Ross.
Taking the feedback.
Well,
working his way through, learning his lesson, signing a 4-year deal, and driving the Pies with his young coach, Craig McRae, who trusts him implicitly.
This could be the biggest. That's the best hitch of the year.
Yeah, this could be on the podium.
Some of us sit on the sidelines. Some of us get in the arena.
Some of us throw stones while they live in glass houses.
Why is he looking at me? Why are you boys looking at me?
People throw rocks.
Okay, on the back of Massimo D'Ambrosio, I'm hitching my wagon not only to the mid-season draft, but I think they should extend that out to the mid-season trade period.
Yep.
I think
yep.
clubs should be able to trade players mid-season now, like they do in every other sport. The fact that he's been able to come in and he missed out on an opportunity first up, yet his skill level was that far above a lot of the other Bombers players. He went back with courage. He looked at ease. And I just think that there's so much that clubs could do if they're able to trade players in and out in that period.
I'll tell you why I don't think we can like they do in America.
Why?
Well, wages aren't big enough. Players don't earn enough money for us to do that.
Why? To do what?
What, to just, if you get traded over to interstate, just pack up the family and move over there when you're on 150, 200 grand a year.
There's very few players.
You're kidding me. Yeah, 150. But Joey, even if you're on more than that.
That's a great holistic point. You've got kids in private
schools.
They
do not earn enough money. It's not like, they're not earning millions and millions and millions of dollars every year. We can just pack up and say, no worries, I'm heading over there. Just can't happen. That's why
they don't have
happen.
To agree to it. The player doesn't have to. If they're open to it, I'm just saying.
How would you feel? They try and trade you mid-season, you don't go.
It's the basic fundamental why that can't work because they just don't earn enough.
Yeah. Average age is 400. Hey, what was the Essendon player's name, Brownie? You mentioned before.
Well, I know I said it wrong the other night. I know that's what you're going to play. But his name was Massimo D'Ambrosio.
Oh, let's hear from the Leroy what your first crack at it was the other night.
Everything's just clicked for them tonight. The new fella, D'Ambrosio. I tried to make it sound like I'd mumbled it, but I just mucked it up.
Hey, go play that again, Leroy. Hang on. One more.
D'Ambrosio. D'Ambrosio.
All right,
any more news, Jason?
Hey, Mitch McGovern, he copped a heavy hit to the ribs.
Jeremy.
What did I say? Mitch McGovern. He's out with a hamstring. Sorry, Jeremy McGovern at West Coast. Now, he has been hospitalised. So West Coast have just put out a statement then saying that West Coast confirmed, unfortunately, star defender Jeremy McGovern spent last night at Royal Perth Hospital after a damaging second quarter collision. The game at Geelong, which left you with broken ribs. He's receiving the best care in a stable condition, unable to receive visitors, just in case anyone was wanting to pop in, but is expected to be released from hospital tomorrow. The club requests his privacy. So a serious injury. It's a reminder about the bravery of these players. He copped a really awkward knock in that clash against the Cats. They were brave. They were much better. West Coast, you think they'll be improved in the second half of the season. But thoughts with Jeremy McGovern. Hopefully he's back up on his feet soon. Brownie.
Now you can listen to Triple M Footy wherever you are and whenever you want.
Listen to the roar.
Just download the Listener app and select Triple M.
For McDonald's and Remot Water, Triple M rocks footy. I tell you what, we've got a really good call team up after this. We're going to hand off to the Queensland team. Brett Thomas, Liam Flanagan, Richard Champion, Belinda Mallon. But what about this for a CV? 322 games, 3 premierships, 3 All-Australians, 3-time best and fairest winner, a Brownlow medal. Simon Black is part of that team, and he wasn't able to attend the function at the Hall of Fame back in 2020 because he was taking the money doing Survivor. But this week he was able to do it, and he went to the Hall of Fame. We welcome Simon Black to the Sunday Rub.
G'day, Brownie. G'day, boys. Nice to be with you.
How did it go the other night, mate? Because obviously back in 2020 you couldn't go. Then 2021, COVID was interrupted, but eventually you got to attend the function where you were inducted.
Yeah, it was an amazing night. It was like a kid in a candy store, really. Being Brisbane-based over the years, you sort of don't get to interact a whole lot, I guess, with especially a lot of the old legends of the game. So, Brown, it was a special night, one that I'll never forget. And, very nice to be able to be on stage with big Jonathan Brown, my old teammate as well.
Did you get the kick on, Blackie? Did you go out, spend the night in Melbourne? How did you spend the night?
I took a couple of my fellow ruckmen down, Jamie Charman and Clark Keating. They call themselves the Brownlow Makers, those two blokes.
That's right.
So I took them out, and I'll be honest, we're wandering the streets very late, thinking, what the hell are we doing in Melbourne on a Tuesday night? But we had a great night, and took a couple of days to recover.
One of your closest mates, Michael Voss, has been a big story in Melbourne. Blackie, how proud of him are you? Did you always think he'd flourish in this second coaching gig? Because he's doing a great job with the Blues so far.
Yeah, he certainly is. I mean, I think he's sort of a bit of a born coach. He's always been a student of the game. And I guess, straight out of the game, straight into coaching really was always going to be a big ask. And he would have learned a hell of a lot. But I think the best thing for him, he's got a great group to work with, hasn't he, at the Blues. So I think the next couple of years are going to be very promising and maybe beyond from there. But always thought I was just hopeful he was going to get a second crack. And it's been great to see him do so well so early again.
Hey, Blackie, I want to go back to your coach, Lethal. We ran into you the other night up in Brisbane and had a bit of a chat, and I said to Lethal after you walked off, I said he would have been pretty handy to coach Lee, and he goes, just didn't have to worry about Blackie, blah, blah, blah. And I said, tell us the story about the Ackermanus, when Acker, about hard ball gets. Because I asked Lee about that and he forgets. Tell us the story about Jason Akermanis in that meeting.
Well, yeah, he was having a bit of a go at Lee at the midfield group, how we need to win a few more hardball gets or something one week. And Acker was interrupted him, in fact, and said, Lee, hang on a minute. I said, my problem is that I'm so fast that I turn the hardball into a loose ball because I... Because I'm just so fast. No one catches. No one catches me.
I love that.
Good accent too.
I love that.
Hey, Blackie, what about the two sides up there? Brisbane Lions, we know, going really well. But Gold Coast, they go 7-6 today. They've got some winnable games coming up. Could they dream about playing finals for the first time?
Yeah, absolutely. I saw your preview throughout the week, Brownie. Absolutely. Yeah, big month coming up with, I think it's Port, Collingwood and Richmond ahead. So today, as you said, they might need to pick off the Crows, don't they? So they're going really well. And I think what they're doing well is their forward half pressure is terrific. They're keeping the ball in their forward half, third rank in the competition as a stat. So they're doing that really well. And yeah, the defensive element of the game, they're not bleeding goals nearly as much. And yeah, the big fellas in the forward line are presenting well. Kaz Bolt's back in. Marbio Child's been a good acquisition off field for the club as well. So yeah, some good signs for the Suns finally up here on the coast.
And Blackie, how about the Lions? They haven't got it done in their home finals over the last couple of years. Have you noticed a discernible change? They're sitting on top of the ladder. In the way they're going about it, that could give them the edge in the finals this year. Any difference that you've noticed?
Ross, I still feel for them to win at their defensive part of their game needs to improve a bit, Brisbane. You know, it's sort of opened up a bit, hasn't it, with what's happening. But, yeah, look, their best, I think, is thereabouts. But, you know, I would have thought if Melbourne get their act together and they play their A game, and as we know, Freo sort of come from nowhere. But, yeah, for mine, Brisbane still, I just think defensively they still give up too many goals too regularly. But, you know, they're great attacking. But last year, Melbourne were able to sort of twice pull them apart defensively and go back the other way on them. So that defensive part for mine is the area they need to improve.
Blackie, life goes really quickly.
Jeez, it was going slow.
And I feel like I'm watching you yesterday win premierships. You're in the Hall of Fame now, All Australians. It seems like only a couple of years ago to me. So for yourself, when you're winning these flags, and obviously you won the three in a row, does it feel like a massively long time ago? Because it feels like for me it was yesterday.
It does, doesn't it? I mean, we're getting old. 20 years seems like a flash. You know, I still remember turning up the club and Champs is here. Richard Champs is here, and he next to me sitting commentating today. And Champs had his golden long locks there, and he had all the drink cards to the nightclubs, and it was all easy. It was great days. But what was the best part, I guess, for us being Brisbane based, was seeing the growth of the game up here throughout those successful days. But you know, yeah, we fell off the cliff pretty hard as a club from 2005 onwards, and it's been nice to see the club rebuild a little bit the last 3 or 4 years. But, 20 years has gone faster. I'll answer your question, Brad. Yeah.
Has Champs got the headphones on? Because all's a champ. What about me?
Is he still singing that band that he used to do?
Shut up, Duck. Straighten up, Duck. Just keep on the footy. It's all about Blackie.
Good boy, Champs.
Champs, I think, has played the most games in the EJ Witten Legends game, too. He loves that.
Move on.
I think it's either him or Luffy.
Luffy. I ran into Luffy.
Luffy.
I ran into Luffy last night, actually, up in Sydney. I tried to dodge him. I did everything I
could. I bet you didn't buy your drink, Duck.
I did everything I could to dodge him, and he ended up cornering me. He actually came in to the Channel 7 box and cornered me and started asking me all these questions about everything. He's just got back from Bali, actually. He's been over there. He plays with the Geckos. So he's replaced the EJ Witten game with the Bali Geckos.
Blackie, Champs, have a great call today and good luck for the rest of the season.
Good on you. Thanks, boys.
Good on you,
a couple of good guys there. Simon, what a player Simon Black was. I mean, all the accolades, 39
Champs.
Disposals.
So was Champs, by the way.
39 disposals in a grand final. Got it done.
And when I was thinking of him, how clean he was, that's Lachie Neale.
Yeah.
That's the level Lachie's on. Because Simon Black was just, he ran all day. He was an 800-metre junior Australian champion, I think, and you're correct. He was a very what do you have? Didn't come off.
No,
we
did
change.
Yeah,
against Collingwood.
And the reason why it took so long to get that question out because I looked at you four to ask the next question, and you all looked at me blank. And then quickly, I had to come up with a question because I didn't feel like we give Blackie enough respect on a long interview.
Yeah, it was good. I liked the question, Brownie. Yeah, does 20 years feel like a long time? I guess so.
About 20 years. It is interesting that there is now expectation on the Gold Coast Suns, just back to them today, because all of a sudden they're a team that, you know, very rarely been the favourites and have that expectation and a bit of weight on their shoulders. But
coming into today, there is an expectation they win, that they can continue to push for finals. So they'd be very disappointed if they do drop this game.
I remember we're at a Triple M function about 5 years ago and Champs comes up to me and says, "G'day, Ash." And I'm like,
names.
He goes, you do the stats and that. That's not me. That's Ash Chew.
You shouldn't take that as a derogatory comment.
No, it was funny.
Ash is just lovely.
Yeah, so he really likes my stats. Hey, so speaking of Lockie Neal, so...
You would take offence if someone came in and said, "G'day, Corey."
Yeah, because we don't look anything alike, whereas these two do.
They don't.
Do you reckon?
I don't think he looks like Ash.
I think you could mistake him in a dark alley. I think if Ash and Jay were in it, and no, Joey could be mistaken.
Hey,
for the two.
Hey.
The three amigos. Imagine those.
So talk about Lockie Neal and he potentially requesting a trade back to Fremantle. Peter Sumich added to that on radio a couple of days ago. I think he will absolutely be in a Brisbane jumper for 2023. So Lions fans can rest easy. He won't be at Fremantle next year.
You think he'll be in Brisbane? Or Sumich said
Sumich said that he's looking to return to the Dockers in 2023, which got everyone in a bit of a flap, but I think there's 0% chance of that happening. Luke Jackson, however, does have some thinking music and some thinking time because Fremantle are certainly interested with him. Again, there was a report that they'd offered him 7 years, $10.5 million. I'm not sure it's quite that much, but I think there's a bit to play out with the Luke Jackson situation at Fremantle. Also, Angus Brayshaw in no rush to recommit at the D. So
what would it take to get it done, Luke Jackson to Fremantle? Because their lift build has been strong. They're in good shape. Is he the missing link, or do you just continue on and don't give up? Because bar the grand final and a couple, is he really delivering to all the talk?
That's what Ross, can it ruin, and I think it can, there's no doubt it can, when you've got a guy like Darcy, who's already all Australian? Or
is no, not yet.
No, He's a BNF winner.
He's a BNF winner.
Should be this year.
I think if you bring someone in just on potential, and that's all it is at this point with Jackson, a little bit more than potential, he's delivered.
And what is he, a key forward or a ruckman?
But if you bring someone in on that sort of money, it can disrupt the camaraderie that you have with the group, and they say, all of a sudden, and the pressure that puts on Jackson as well to perform to a certain level, to earn
well, look at
money.
Tim Kelly at West Coast. That trade's gone through, it's been a disaster.
And I think Fremantle have done it the right way. So I think to pay that type of money that you're talking about to bring in someone from the outside, I think you'd be better off tying up some of this young talent coming up and through and throwing the money at that.
And then what you've got to give to get him. Yeah. You're starting at two first-round picks.
Yes.
That's the starting point.
Yeah, no, you're not giving up.
Brayshaw's an interesting one. The talk that maybe he wants out of Melbourne? I haven't heard that one before.
No, he's got a big decision because Luke Jackson's Melbourne's priority and that's where their money will be tied up. So you just wonder, well, how much will be left for Angus Brayshaw? So, look, there's competition-wide interest in Angus. I think Fremantle would have a bit of a look at him.
Midfielder? Because
he's not playing
in the midfield at Melbourne. Is that a sticking point?
Well, he can play anywhere.
Gee, he's a good player.
He can play anywhere.
Well, he was in the All-Australian contention in the half-back role. He's never really established himself.
Not in the ruck, probably.
As a top line on baller.
No, but he got forced. But as a winger, if you can do it on the wing and you can do it at half back.
And
you're going to do it inside. Yeah. He's got a massive tank. That's my understanding. Ruzzi said he's got a massive tank. He's a quality player.
Keep your eye on James Harms. I think if Melbourne has to lose one, and it's not Jackson and Brayshaw do stay, I wonder whether Harms could be the one who potentially gets flipped out. He's still contracted, but he's on a decent wicket, and I just wouldn't be surprised. I think Melbourne will probably lose one.
What about the one that happened last year at the Western Bulldogs? Josh Dunkley was almost a bomber. Is he happier now? Because obviously there was some standards that he thought was one of the reasons why he wanted to get out of the football club. The Bailey Smith thing has now happened. Josh Dunkley staying at the Bulldogs next year?
Big one to watch. I'm not convinced of that. I think his partner's playing some netball interstate. I don't think the Bulldogs have come for a rush with him at this stage. They need some aerial support at both ends. So from a list management perspective, if they lost Dunkley and brought in a big man who could play...
A defender.
Or forward as a co-pilot to Norton.
They've got Bruce. They've got Josh Bruce coming back.
Darcy. They need a defender.
The key defensive issues are Luke Beveridge's biggest headache.
Well, Sam Darcy did play fullback in the VFL game Friday night against Carlton.
Yeah, I'm not sure he's quite ready, but I think your point's valid. Would you flip Dunkley out for a for a sort of a A or B grade.
I think Alex Pearce, I'd offer him whatever he wants, Alex Pearce. He's pivotal to when he's not playing for the Dockers, they can get opened up.
So when you say whatever you want, Ross, where are you heading there? Because that could be open ended.
Top flight. I'm talking 800 for Alex Pearce. For what they need, they got the midfield, they got forwards. He would just solidify that back half.
Yep.
Like he does for the Dockers. I remember like my last year when he was there, we were like 7-5. And then he broke that bone in his leg again. Since he's been back and playing good footy, he's just the glue of that back line. And culturally, there's no one better.
And for what it's worth, I don't really like talking about Brayshaw or any players that are currently still under contract or even coming out of contract while they're about to go into a finals or you know that they're going to play finals.
Yeah, I don't have the same reservations.
It's what we do, though, isn't it?
I know, but I don't like it.
But they
should be mature enough to
But it's happening in
players.
The background.
Thanks for the update,
but it's managers
because it's only because we're only, because we're only guessing.
But
you're
they're
only
talking.
Guessing. You're only guessing about all
he's
of this.
He's getting
but
upset. Talking, is he?
What are you their managers are talking to clubs.
Yeah,
and they'll be talking to their players that this is what I'm talking to. So it is happening.
Yeah, I know. I know it's happening. I just don't like talking about it.
But I will exclude that out of the conversation.
I got a question. How do you feel for your mate Simon Goodwin?
How do I feel?
Yeah.
I think
we're talking about consciousness.
Well, no, yeah, well, you do feel for him because, you know, it sounds like there's a bit of a witch hunt. And I know for a fact that a lot of the rumour and innuendo about him is just totally, totally, totally wrong.
Unsubstantiated.
Yeah, absolutely. So for that reason, I feel for him. But Goody's a very, very strong character and a very, very good person and has done extremely well. To be a premiership coach and to get through what he's already got through earlier this year, he'll hold up all right. Goody.
Can you imagine the pressure he'd be under right now if they hadn't won the premiership?
Yeah.
I mean,
well, he was under pressure.
The pressure
last
he
year.
Was under. Yeah. Last year. I don't see there's any benefit in revisiting, and whatever there was clearly we all talk about improving to players and taking feedback and. Next moment and delivering. And that's what he's done. It should be going forward from here. I don't understand the motivations of revisiting. And I see the headlines and there was this, and this with no detail, no detail whatsoever. And it's casting, you know, a shadow that doesn't need to be cast.
I think it's even more so the rumour and innuendo behind the scenes about all different sorts of stuff is just total rubbish.
Well, the players love him and the players go into bat for him. When you've got that on your side, Ross, I mean, you're 95% of the way there.
I've always
100%,
said, don't worry
I couldn't agree more, Brownie. He doesn't need to respond. And I'm glad he hasn't. I'm glad he's advised. You know what? Just keep winning games and coaching. And he's got his hands. Don't be distracted. That's what we say to players. Don't be distracted. If anything, fuel yourself to do what you do well, which is play great, coach great.
I told him many years ago when I was at the Crows, and I'm not sure why I said this, but I just sent him a little message. He won't mind me saying this, you know, because he's a great man, Goody. I sent him a little message saying, hey, just checking in, making sure everything's okay. And he said, a mate told me many years ago, worrying is like riding a rocking horse. Gives you something to do, but gets you nowhere.
Bit of Wayne's wisdom.
There it is.
That was a bit of
Wayne's
world.
Wisdom
with Wayne.
Like
I think you'd have a few from Dennis Pagan coming through, couldn't you, as well?
Yeah.
So maybe that's a segment for next week. Maybe you can go and get that sponsored
as
well.
That was mine because one day I was riding a rocking horse and I just thought, hang on, they're just giving me something to do.
I'm here really Is Damo trying to get this up for the Sunday Saturday?
This is a little bit like worrying. Just.
Why are you talking like BT?
The biggest names, the biggest games.
Please just call me the Oracle from now on.
Triple M rocks footy.
Gold Coast up against Adelaide on Triple M footy. Brett Thomas, Liam Fleming and Richard Champion, Simon Black and Belinda Mallant will take you through that one when it starts. But right here, we've got Joey, we've got Duck, we've got Jay-Z and also Ross. Yes, Joey, you got your hand up for some reason?
No, we just thought we were going to talk about the Gold Coast Suns. Weren't we? You had something else first.
Jay-Z wanted to bring something else to the table.
Hey,
so.
just want to recap something Chris Scott said after the Cats win over West Coast yesterday. So no Paddy Dangerfield, he's due back this week, offers an enormous boost to that midfield, of course. After the game, Chris Scott's spoke about how they've been in a heavy training phase, which is what they do in the mid-season most years, which hasn't paid massive dividends for them in finals time. But Chris Scott said they're going to go to the well again in hope that they can reap the rewards in September.
it's what we do through the middle part of the year. So we're doubling down even more than we have previous years that we might cost ourselves a little bit short term, but we're going to try to set up our program to be at our best when it counts. And, if we finish ninth, because we try to prime ourselves to be at our best later in the year, we'll live with that. We haven't been able to execute that over the last few years anyway, so I don't think that's a reason to change the philosophy. It's a reason to try to do it better.
So it's sort of saying that it could tax the legs a little bit in the short term. At least they got the chocolates yesterday. It wasn't a super win, but they're saying it's going to prime them for finals. What do you think, boys? Is it the right strategy or not?
As a player, there's nothing worse than going into a game with heavy legs. So you do everything you possibly can during the week to go in with light legs. Sometimes it just seems like hard work, but I completely understand that they're getting time into their legs for that. And then they've probably looked at this part of the year and said, okay, we play West Coast. We feel like we can get over the top of that one. They've got the Tigers, which if they're still heavy in the legs, is going to be a hard one, but I completely agree with what they're doing.
Yeah, we did that at St Kilda, didn't we, Ross? Yeah. It was short-term pain for the long-term gain that you can then freshen up at the back end of the season knowing that you've got the work there and you're not tapering off with your fitness. You've actually still got a high level of fitness to perform at your best.
And it's not only opponents. It's really about time, days between games. So they must have some bigger breaks coming. It ties into the bye. And it's not only your football training. It's what you do in the gym, which is the squats and the leg presses. This is a heavier phase. We can load them up more. So with that view to the end, back off. It's typical, I forget the technical term now, like cyclical training. But they've built in those. And that they would have had that planned since the start of the year.
And, Duck, yours was more based around the postseason trip, wasn't it, in terms of your – How
are
you?
No, it's obviously individuals too. You base it around, some guys that are feeling really good that might need the extra. You don't. It's so much more scientific.
What did you do?
What do you mean?
Well, how did you just do the same thing all the time? Did you time it? Or
I trained every session and got out there as much as I could. That's the key to having a good pre-season and then being out on the track as much as you can.
It probably wasn't any loading back then either, was it? It was just normal training.
Not missing sessions sets you up for the end of the year, no matter what.
100%.
Whereas if you're missing
sessions.
Same
as Olympic athletes, like the rowing teams, and they talk about you need 92-95% completion of the program mapped out going in to an Olympics, and that's why they do so much on hygiene. That's really important, the clubs, hand hygiene, and just so not getting illnesses that get in the way of your training, which we saw destroy the Cats last year in their final.
They did. And if they time it right, so they've got five more games in Geelong. They play West Coast and North Melbourne. I'm not sure whether those games are in. One of them obviously is in Geelong, but they also play North Melbourne, I think, at Marvel. So
they play West Coast again.
They play West Coast and North Melbourne again. So
but
two
not,
more games,
it's not
five
only getting
in
there again, Brownie. It's why have they improved? So Chris would have been nervous about losing Henderson, but DeConey's gone through the roof. So they've got an exciting – and Henderson, for as good as he was, got exposed. I remember Richmond, they isolated him with Rewalt, took him back in the square, and Rewalt had a massive second half. DeConey is an excitement machine. He'll keep improving every week. You got Stengel, an exciting small pressure player.
One of the best on the ground yesterday.
All of a sudden, he's done a mini training camp, Dangerfield, mini preseason. He comes back, and you got Duncan. They're a different team. You've got Atkins gone through the midfield. The complexion, I think they've got the weapons and they've tweaked their style. I think they're in. And they got Cameron. Like, gee whiz.
The one thing I feel like they're hoping goes well. They hope goes well is the ruck department. So Reece Stanley can be absolutely brilliant one day, and then the next week he plays. You're like, Reece, what are you doing?
Plays
so,
an if. Tony Jewell said the less if you have, the better. He's an if.
Yeah. So Blixarves can do the job, but you'd love Blixarves out in the wing and a bit part, like the Adam Hunter player at the West Coast Eagles. So if Reece Stanley stands up, Geelong for me almost going to the final series as a favourite.
Did I see Manigola play?
Yeah,
Manigola
was back.
Was he coming back?
Important Manigola. Yeah. I like the way he's that connect type player. I like him.
And I think a fit and firing Dangerfield back into the year. This is probably his last crack at having a chance to win that flag. I think it sets up for Dangerfield to just blow this open with such a wide open season.
And some people eating some humble pie would be great. That have terrorised Chris Scott and the Cats.
Yeah, I also want to ask you about Tom Hawkins. 700 goals, Duck. You played in that position, started off his career slowly, but he just came getting better. Like, I mean, you're looking at Tex, who's playing wonderful football. You probably compare him to Rewald at the moment, who's really slowed down, but he's getting through his footy games with his smarts. But Tom Hawkins still looks fresh.
Yeah, I think Tom's more of a full forward, for starters, but he's unbelievably, he's career best. His last 4 or 5 years, he had that little period, remember, where, and you're a Cat supporter, back, Jay, he had back problems. He couldn't bend over. Mm. His agility now, and the boundary work is unique in that aspect. He's the best forward ruck.
Would it be fair? He lightened off a bit. Did he strip down a little bit?
Lean.
But it's his agility that looks. And what's improved in his game is his left and right foot, the way he uses it. He's so clever. His hands. Every aspect of his game is at the peak of its power.
And he's a smiling assassin. He's he's tough.
Way
and
better set shot, kick. I had to do this a little while ago, but. And trying to work out who would be automatic Hall of Famer type players that are playing. And I think he goes straight in. I find it really hard to separate both Jack and Tom. I think they're both really similar. They've both got better. I think Jack's a better player now than when he was winning Coleman's because he's more team oriented. I love the way he goes about it. He's probably tapering off a little bit. But Hawkins is a modern day great.
Well, what about Tom Hawkins' selflessness? Chris Scott addressed that last night as well.
If we acknowledge Hawk for everything that I liked about him, we'd be doing it every day. And he's going to knock over these things as he keeps going. But, I mean, he knows that he's just been a fundamental part of our club for a long time and doesn't look like slowing down in our view. And that's a credit to the way our club's helped him prepare. But mainly the credit should go to him. He's just been outstanding. And I think I think what we try to be as a club is we recognise those individual achievements but not let them define us. Like his worth to us is measured much more than goals. I mean, even I'd love to know the number he's given away, but not just with his score assists, but the lay down is there, which he could have just popped through, which he gives away. So I don't even think those goals are an accurate reflection of how good he's been.
I actually said that about both Jack and Hawkins the other week on TV. I said I'd love to know how many assists, like direct assists.
Yep.
So that next kick becomes a goal because he's just been great. And also, and as I said, the ruck work.
And if you were part of the Ralph Lauren polo team and the marketing arm, you'd be just reaching out to Tom when he finishes because he'd be the perfect man to front a calendar or just a summer
Williams.
Series. Like he is just perfectly built to be that perfect poster boy, isn't he?
He's,
you can see the hair going back. Yep. He's got the bright teeth, the big lips, the nice eyes. He should be a model, Ross. not you, Ross.
I've seen your media card. I'm glad that we're looking really deep in the character of Tom and not superficial surface.
Which is your long time. You need it earned.
John Deere calling his manager, Tom Petraro, as we speak. This is the Cats Run Home. Have a think about this. Richmond Blockbuster on Saturday at the MCG. That'll be a beauty. Followed by, as you say, Brownie, North Melbourne, GMHBA. You think that's a soft kill. Then Melbourne, Carlton's a challenge. Port Adelaide at Adelaide Oval. Bulldogs at GMHBA. St Kilda at GMHBA. Gold Coast up there at Metricon to finish off West Coast.
Not that easy.
At GMHBA.
That's a tough run.
Just as an aside, have you done your pay packet thing this year, Jose? That was normally controversial. It was a highlight of the calendar.
Funny you should mention
that. Oh, is that coming?
Unfortunately, that's coming up.
That's coming. Mm. It sets you up for a few conversations.
Just give us a sneak peek. We've got a minute to go.
Look relaxed and happy. It mustn't have been delivered yet.
It's my favourite task of the year, and we had to talk about it last week in depth. So really looking forward to the feedback that we'll get around.
Can we expect some big movers and sliders?
All of that. Yeah.
Who's the highest paid player in the AFL right now?
Let me think. Let's start with number one. And obviously you have to be Dusty Martin. I think Jeremy Cameron gets a fair whack, about 950 at the Cats this year. I think McGovern comes off a little bit. I have to revisit my notes, Brownie, but I look forward to really getting stuck into that over the next fortnight.
What do players or managers get most upset about? Getting overvalued or undervalued?
I just don't think they like it in there at all. it just causes me headaches.
Feels like Leroy's already winding us up.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks footy.